Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is in the month of September. I say that because we like to use our programs to replay them because they're popular. September is the Life Insurance Awareness Month. You didn't know that, did you? How about that? And listen, it is a big deal that if you have people depending on you and they would be hurt financially by your passing, then life insurance is really, really important. I have plenty of life insurance on me to protect my loved ones. And so with that important setup, we have a great guest lined up for you, Joseph J.J. Montanaro. He's a certified financial planner and he is with USAA and he is here to talk to us about the importance of life insurance and help you kind of think it through and understand it. He worked as a financial planner like me, a veteran of the industry before joining USAA and becoming much more involved in their communication. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And he comes to us with gobs of experience and also had, I see some work in the military, bachelor's degree in engineering from United States Military Academy. And we thank you for your service to our country. 6 years of active duty. Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's great to be here. And I know people, when the calendar rolled over to September, pretty much everybody's Life Insurance Awareness Month light started flashing.
Oh, I'm sure. It's, you know, it's kind of like when the donuts are hot at the donut shop. They flick the light on and everybody's there to get their donut and life insurance policy.
Right, exactly.
It'd be funny.
But it is a critical topic, and I think, as you probably do, any opportunity we have to talk about it and just maybe have somebody flash into their own life and what's happened over the last year, there may have been changes that would change what they might need in terms of life insurance, for sure.
Well, we appreciate you and USAA leading the charge, so to speak, to get people thinking about it. And let's just dive right in without any further setup. I know that you come to us with lots of experience in communicating this, the importance of this to the world and with numerous appearances on a variety of media outlets. So most importantly, I guess the first question is, what is it that people should be asking about themselves about life insurance? You know, is it, before we even get to, you know, how they're going to pay for it or, you know, I mean, what's really the first question they need to ask themselves?
David, I think it's just to ask the question, hey, do I have enough life insurance? Because people do tend to get bogged down into the details of what type of insurance is the best insurance and like you said, what premiums am I going to pay? What are my options? But really, when it comes down to protecting our loved ones, that really the focus or the question you need to ask is, hey, do I have enough? And I think today, different from when I started in this business, there are a lot of cool tools and calculators that you can use to help you get that answer.
Excellent. Well, and that is really the first and foremost question is, do you have enough? And, you know, the reason why it sounds like a little bit of a loaded question, JJ, is that most of the time, people don't have enough. And that's why it seems like, do you have enough life insurance? Implying that you probably don't. Well, the reason we say that to our listeners is that often they don't have enough. And, you know, I've personally looked at my policies and evaluated my coverage needs, and I've adjusted and increased it based on, you know, what I thought was appropriate and what I thought was necessary. And then after we've kind of asked that question, there are different ways of getting there. You know, there are different rules of thumb that people can use to figure out how much they need. And I know there's calculators. Any suggestions to kind of figure out how much maybe they need for their particular circumstance?
Yeah, I think if folks look at the lifehappens.org website, I mean, there's a front and center a calculator there that doesn't take a lot of time. The VA is actually updating their calculator right now, and we have one at USA.com.
Okay, good.
People love to have a rule of thumb, but we're all different. We all have different goals and different financial situations. So I think it's worth the time. I don't know about you, David, but I think it's worth the time for people to spend a few minutes and really map out the scenario based on the things that they'd like to see happen in their life if something, you know, unthinkable were to happen.
Yeah, that's the point. And, you know, just as one way of doing it, I'll give a quick example, JJ, if you don't mind. And it's, you know, how much do you need? I kind of do it backwards. I say, okay, something happens to the breadwinner or to one of the breadwinners in a family situation, how much money, first of all, do we need for emergencies? Then how much money do we need to pay off debt? How much money do we need to fully fund whatever type of educational program we might have for any children that are still in the household? Are there any other specific things that need to be met with a lump sum? Add all that up. That's part A. And part B is, how much then do we need for ongoing income? How much of a financial engine do we need to create to replace the lost income? And let's say it's just simple example. Let's say it's $30,000 of lost income. Then we would figure out how much we need as a lump sum to generate $30,000 of income. And in today's low interest rate world, that might be quite a bit of chunk of money. So you add A and B together, and that gives us one way to start with a total amount of life insurance somebody might need, at least at this moment in time. And as I know you'll talk about in just a second, these needs will change, but you got to start somewhere, and you got to start with figuring out how much you need on hand and then how much you need working to replace the income that was lost by the person you're trying to insure.
Yeah, David, we actually use an acronym, LIFE, to get people thinking about those different areas. And it's liabilities, important goals, final expenses, and expenses for survivors. So all of those components that you mentioned. And like you said, I mean, things change. So ideally, the kids are going to grow up, and I'm knocking on my wooden table here. They're going to grow up and be financially independent. The mortgage is going to be paid off. The education is going to be completed and paid for. So what makes sense today in terms of life insurance, in terms of that number we talked about earlier and those requirements you just mentioned, is not necessarily going to be the same number 10 years from now. So when folks have a life event, marriage, changing job, having a baby, I think to me all those are times that to revisit this question that we're discussing.
Excellent. Yeah, this is not a rotisserie chicken on Ronco commercials where you set it and forget
right.
it. You know, that's not what this is. And like anything else, I mean, it's like your homeowner's insurance. I just changed my homeowner's insurance because we had a different policy that was our agent worked with us and told us of a better policy, had better coverage for less money. Hello, but if I'd also had some other changes in my own personal circumstances that warranted a change of insurance coverage, I would do that. So people need to do the same thing with their life insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, if a few people listening to us are thinking about what's happened and how that may impact their life insurance, then, hey, today we would call it a success.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, let's do this. Let's continue the success. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with JJ, Joseph Montanaro, and we will cover the different types of life insurance and which ones might make sense for different situations. Stay right there.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. We have Joseph J.J. Montanaro, and he is our guest today, certified financial planner. He's with USAA, and of course the website for USAA is usaa.com. And we're very glad to have JJ with us. He's done a lot of work in helping families realize their goals, and his advice has appeared in numerous outlets, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, CNN Money, Market Watch, Military Spouse Magazine, and the Washington Post. Glad to have him on the program. And let's dive in, JJ, to talk about the different types of insurance, because, you know, here's where we get into what can be an overwhelming number of choices and complexity. And if you talk to you know, somebody talks to 20 different life insurance agents, they may get 20 different recommendations, not only in terms of dollar amount, but in terms of the type of coverage, the cost, all that stuff.
Right, right. So I think what we should endeavor to do is keep it fairly simple. At least that's what I'll try to do.
Yeah, good luck.
I think I'm being really simple, and it's not coming out that way. But But with life insurance, I think if you break it down into two different major categories of policies, you've got term and you've got permanent. Term would be annual renewable term, group term, 10 or 20 or 30 year level term. And on the other side of the fence, you've got permanent coverage, which would be your whole life, your variable life, universal life, and those sorts of things.
Yes.
So I think that, in a nutshell, is what you have when you're evaluating coverage on a dollar for dollar basis. As you know, David, the term insurance is going to be less expensive in terms of how much that coverage is going to cost.
Yeah.
There's no cash component or investment component with term insurance. It's just pure insurance, whereas you're going to have that sort of an account associated with the permanent policy.
Excellent. Yeah, good point. And, you know, there are lots of different thoughts and lots of different opinions about which one is better. And again, it depends on the person's situation, what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, a strong argument can be made for the different types of policies. Of course, it's always got to come back to what fits and what can you afford. You know, a whole life policy might be the perfect policy solution for somebody, because the need is permanent or other factors, or they want the cash value accumulation. But if they don't have the money and they can't do it, they can't do it. So, I mean, it always has to be within the context of a person's circumstance. And back to what we originally started the conversation with, JJ, is you got to figure out how much you need first, and you got to get that coverage, and then figure out, okay, how do I do that with the types of policies that might make sense for my situation?
Yeah, I think when I try to guide people down the right path or the path, I just say, hey, start with what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
When you're going to make the decision about what type of insurance you go with, and a lot of needs or a lot of reasons we have insurance that we talked about earlier are truly temporary, and so
I think
term is a good way to cover those.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you're talking about replacing survivor benefits, special needs children, estate planning goals, those are reasons that aren't going to go away, and so a permanent policy, as you noted, if you can afford it, is probably going to be something that's more suitable in a situation like that.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, but in a lot of cases, you know, the need for the life insurance may be reduced over time. You know, the textbook example is you've got the family, you know, both spouses are working, or maybe one makes more than the other, but we have a need for income while we have kids in school, kids in college, we have a mortgage, all of these things that are obligations. But by the time that couple reaches 65 or 70, they've paid everything off, hopefully, or at least it's reduced. The risk now of people being hurt financially is much, much less. And there might be a need to spend those dollars that were being spent on life insurance for perhaps another type of more appropriate or needed policy like long-term care. So the term can certainly have its place in a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think like you said, as you go through that laundry list of reasons to have insurance, frankly, the majority of them are temporary. We are hopefully going to get to a place where that need doesn't no longer exist. So I think it's shocking for a lot of people when they get to that point and they're surveying their financial landscape and recognizing that, holy cow, I've done the stuff that I set out to do 20 or 30 years ago, and I no longer need the life insurance. It's almost like a divorce of some sort, but it should be something in a lot of cases we're working towards.
Yeah, excellent. Well put, JJ. And you know, there are these different policies that we could drill down into. We've talked about some of the processes and you know, looking for different ways of doing this. I would encourage people to really get several opinions from different sources and really do a little bit of their own research and thinking about how much they should get. And there are a lot of different places that they can get affordable life insurance. And these things are, you know, one of the things I would say, though, is that cheaper isn't always better. Better is better. So I would caution people about not only looking at price, but looking at the quality of the company where they're getting that policy. Because if the company's not around to pay the, you know, the life insurance death benefit, then
it's not
much good having the policy.
Yeah, that's great. And I think the other thing that could, if you start where we're telling people to start with, which is figuring out how much you need, what I would encourage people to do is not get intimidated by the numbers.
Yeah.
The numbers can be pretty big, However, when you look at term insurance specifically, when you look at how much coverage you can get for as little as it's going to cost you, the point, I guess, is don't be intimidated when you see a number, hey, I need $250,000 or a half
million
coverage, because you may be able to go out and get that for $20 or $30 a month.
Right.
Have that locked in for the next 10 or 20 years. So
yeah, and that's
so
another
let those big numbers scare you.
That's good, JJ. That's another good point, is that with some of these different policies, you can lock in your premium and pay the same premium every year for the next, 10, 20, or 30 years and know what it's going to cost you, and you can budget and you can plan for it. And, with term insurance companies betting you're not going to die within that 10 or 20 year period. So
we want them to be right.
That's right. We want them to be right. Lock in a long time so that you hope to meet their bet against the house, so to speak. But no, but there's a lot of different choices, and I would encourage people to take a look. And the other thing I think for a lot of people to think about, and you can hit this one, JJ, is there a best time to get a policy? Is there a magic age before, after that we should do it at, or can it be any time?
I'm kind of in the camp that the life insurance should be there because you have some sort of financial obligation that you want to take care of, whether it's your loved ones or something we see more often today than probably we had in the past is kids graduating. I say kids, using that term loosely, but
sure.
Kids graduating from school with hundreds of thousands of dollars or $100,000 of student loan debt, and so you. I think at 24, 22, you might not have a lot of financial obligations, but if you've got parents or somebody who co-signed those loans for you and something were to happen to you, they would be on the hook for that. And so I think that it's all about what obligations you have, and you obviously have to look fully at your financial situation to discover those or just to recognize that there may be a need when at first glance it might not seem like it.
Yeah, well put, JJ. If you're just joining us, Joseph JJ Montanaro is our guest, certified financial planner. He's with USAA, and of course the website USAA.com. And he also gave us another website you can take a look at just to do a little more homework on how this life insurance works, lifehappens.org. We'll grab another quick break. We'll come back with JJ and dig a little deeper. Hang in there with us. We'll go further. Stay tuned.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN, that's 671-PLAN, or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we're back. Joseph JJ Montanaro, CFP, Certified Financial Planner, USAA, USAA.com's website. And I wanted to actually follow up on something you said right before the break. I was like, that's an excellent point, JJ, and that's... You mentioned student debt.
It happens once a day.
Yeah, you got your one. You're done for the day now. You're done for the day. But you made an excellent point about student debt. We now have student debt that has eclipsed $1 trillion in the United States. And a lot of them are in either slow pay, no pay, or some sort of difficult position. And so you mentioned about the debt, and it had me thinking about the question of, it used to be that people would get a policy maybe to help either get it at an early age for a child or get it for a funeral or burial expenses or things like that. But nowadays, the parent who is co-signing many times, or grandparents for that matter, co-signing for these loans that the kids may be getting, something happens to the kid, young adult, then they may be left with this financial obligation. So it's actually taking the whole idea of who's insurable and why somebody needs to be insured and kind of standing on its head, right?
Yeah, it does. But if you go back to the basics that you talked about, and I kind of echoed the idea of, hey, there are liabilities, there are things that you'd want to be paid off or things that you want to see happen. And again, it just may be a little bit different than it's been in the past. That may be up in your face and on your plate earlier than it has been historically.
Yeah, I guess, you know, as much as we would like to hold things in position, things do change, things evolve, and our country, our world is certainly evolving and changing and, you know, in a lot of different ways, and this is just one more reflection of that. Now, there's actually been a decline in the number of people, number of Americans at least, with life insurance. What's going on there?
Yeah, to me it's a little bit shocking, but I think it comes back to the society we live in terms of that there are just so many opportunities, so many things, so many places to spend our money that are we're bombarded with on a daily basis. So I think you have a combination of that type of mentality along with just the tough financial realities that people face in terms of making ends meet. And so it seems that life insurance, we're talking about it today, but it's not in your face in terms of something that you see on a daily basis, something that you're hammered with. And so it becomes, I think, easier to push it off to the side. And so to me, that's the whole point of this month is for us to bring it back front and center.
Well, and I know there are story after story after story of successful, and I'll use that word carefully, successful purchases of life insurance. And you probably have them on the USAA.com website, that there are stories of people where the family was provided for because there was life insurance. I've had guests on this program that have talked about that in the past, JJ. And, there's just, it's critical. If people depend on you, yeah, it's inconvenient to get the policy, and there is a cost, but you got to do it. Now, one of the options that working people have is you can, of course, go get your own policy through an independent agent or wherever, whatever may be appropriate for somebody. But they also, many companies make it available as something you can buy yourself. Some will provide it for you, but a lot of them will make it available in the workplace, and just you can have it payroll deducted. What are your thoughts on that kind of an option?
I, like I said, I'm all about having the right amount, and if it comes from an employer, which, like you said, David, is a very easy way for most people to get it, that's a great thing. So that's an opportunity I'd look at, and in the process of finding out what your number is, You may decide to avail yourself of a little more of what the employer offers. Sometimes you'll see an employer that offers one-time salary or
right.
two-time salary and life insurance benefits. But if you just check a box, you can pay a little bit more and get more coverage.
Good
point. Only thing I worry about sometimes is that if all the coverage is tied to the employer, what happens if you lose your job or leave your employer?
Good point.
What happens to that coverage? So that's the only thing as a planner, and I'm sure you do the same thing. Get a little concerned if all the life insurance eggs are in that employer basket.
Yeah, and you're being gentle with it, JJ. I'm actually very concerned if that's the case. And your point's right on, that if the person leaves employment, that not only could they lose that coverage, but what if their health has declined and now they're leaving the job because they can't work and their health has declined? Now they can't. It's going to be very difficult for them to go and get a replacement policy on their own, when they may no longer be insurable, or it may be very expensive to acquire the policy at that point.
Exactly.
You got to always hedge your bets, don't you, JJ?
Yep, there you go, Dave.
I mean, you got to hedge it. So now there's something that people can also look to, and I'm sure you are very familiar with this, and there are different, besides your employer, there could be associations or professional organizations or things like that where there could be coverage available, and that's not necessarily dependent on your individual job. For example, I started my career as a CPA, so I'm a card-carrying member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and one of my member benefits is that since I've been a member since 1992, that I get to buy life insurance through the AICPA, and as long as I am a part of that organization, meaning I can either have my own firm or work for another or whomever, I'm still a CPA,
right.
I can get that coverage. So that's something that sometimes people overlook as an option, and a lot of times that could be very affordable as well.
That's great. I mean, like I said, any way we can push people in that direction and explore the opportunities that are available to them and build a protection plan that really does what they need it to do is a win.
Yeah. Well, listen, what is it going to take to get you into this life insurance policy today, ladies and gentlemen? What's it going to take? Right? I mean, it reminds me of some of the commercials I see on television, you know, that, hey, this isn't this isn't fun or this isn't something necessarily somebody wants to talk about. But, you know, it does seem to be, I guess part of it is, JJ, that it's a little taboo. People don't like talking about death. And that's what we're really talking about.
Exactly. It's an uncomfortable topic. And again, it's a relatively easy discussion to push to the side and put away for later. And again, that's just what we're trying to avoid here. Have the discussion now. Have it with your significant other. Have it with your family. And make sure that you're doing what you need to do.
Well, and, you know, there's no time like the present, and here's why. And I've seen this happen, and I'm sure you have too, JJ, that, you know, somebody is healthy now, and then they say, well, I'll do it later, whatever. And then later, they can't get it if something happens.
You don't want to wait till the house is burning down to try to get the insurance. That's for sure.
No, it's like I've used this example many times. You know, it's like when the hurricane is bearing down, it crosses that line out there in the Atlantic Ocean. You can't get any more wind coverage on your house. It's just not happening because it's on its way there. So, and we can't back time up. If you're going to do it, you've got to do it today and really be glad you did. I understand completely. I've got my own. I pay my own premium and it's not fun. I'm not saying you got to like it, but you got to do it.
I agree wholeheartedly, David.
All right.
Appreciate the effort, and I think you've done the same, and thanks for the opportunity to discuss what I think is really an important topic today, David.
Excellent. We've been joined today by Joseph J.J. Montanaro, CFP, financial planner. USAA.com is a website, and lifehappens.org is another great resource for you. Thank you, J.J.
All right. Take care, David. Good to talk to you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.